Some of you aren't sure by the sound of it. Powerful words in that song. I come from a musical family. I'll introduce them to you in a moment. But is it possible to get those words up again? Sorry. The last song. But you have my heart, everything of me. I think it was. Sorry, I've immediately thrown a spanner in the works. Yeah, you'll always have my heart. You'll always have my heart. Those are powerful words to sing. And it's a real challenge. I was standing at the back, I was challenged, man. Jesus, do you always have my heart? Can I sing those words with sincerity in my heart? Jesus, do you always have my heart? Maybe not on a Wednesday morning when I'm trying to get to work and there's somebody driving 60 miles an hour in the fast lane on the motorway. Am I always attuned to the Lord? And that's part of my journey that I'm training myself to be conscious of the Lord. As much as possible. We blow it right sometimes. Anyway, it challenge you this morning. Think about that. Jesus, will you always have my heart? Well, it's an absolute privilege and a joy to be here with you this morning. We send greetings from God Central. And we trust this morning is going to be a great time together. It's been great to get to know Dave. I know John from many, many years ago, Barry as well. But it's been great to get to know Dave over the last few months, just journeying together in faith and just talking about what God is doing. And we'll share a little bit more about that later. So for those of you, well, some of you I know, actually, some faces from yesteryear, many years ago, actually born and bred in Harlow. Born in 1977, you can do the maths. I was born again in 1993, had a radical encounter with Jesus that just transformed my life. Hadn't been brought up in a Christian home at all. I was chatting with somebody earlier, sort of, we used to say grace at school. I mean, that's part of history now, right? I don't think they say grace at school anymore. And we had carol services and things like that. And that was really my exposure to faith and religion growing up in school. And then, yeah, 93, just went along to a youth club. Actually, by the small copper pub, not far from here. I went because at that time I had a bit of a... I enjoyed a drink. I was 16 at the time. I enjoyed a drink. I party hard. Probably partied harder than I should have, rather than doing education well. I love the social aspect of life. And I was heavily into drink, heavily into that kind of lifestyle. And I went along to this youth club because it was next to a pub, but I could get some free drinks and stuff. I walked into this youth club, man, and these people were so different from me. There was something different about them. And I got to know over a few months that it was this guy called Jesus, and he transformed their lives, radically changed these people's lives. I needed that. I was living a life for myself. I didn't have any peace. And I went home, and at that point, we had a loft conversion, so I had a skylight in my roof. I looked out. I said, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. In that moment, a peace came over my body, right, that I couldn't explain. I subsequently found out there's a Bible verse that says he'll give you a peace that you can't explain. And in that moment, I submitted my life to God, and everything changed. Everything changed. I was a new person. Gave up drinking, committed my life to God in 1993. Ended up, within 2 months, running a youth group. I was a greenhorn. I knew nothing. I knew nothing. And that was 93. So that's 30 years next year. I've been walking with the Lord and involved in ministry. And part of this morning is to is to look and chat around ministry and what that means for us. Every single one of us in this room, because we're all called to minister the gospel. And we're going to look at that in a minute. But first of all, I've got a little PowerPoint to introduce my family and some things about me. Enjoy the soothing tones of dinner jazz this morning. You might wonder, why on earth is he playing dinner jazz? I love dinner jazz. It's calming, it's relaxing. I can just focus on the Lord and listen to this. And this is part of who I am. I love dinner jazz and I love all types of music. I've had the privilege of studying to be an audio engineer, had a recording studio, a sound hire company. So I've been in and around music for a long time, and it's always great to see a fellow leader play the bass. I also play the bass. There must be something about it, the anointing to play. But yeah, music is so emotive, can connect you in ways that other stuff can't. And I always find myself just closer to the Lord. It relaxes me, brings a peace, a stillness. So I want to encourage you this morning. Spotify, iTunes Music. Dinner jazz, read the word, see what happens. God will turn up, I promise you. This is my wife. Her name is Nikki. She's a South African. I was chatting with a South African. I didn't catch your name, I'm sorry. Sean. I was chatting with Sean earlier. He lived in Port Elizabeth in South Africa, that I did find out. My wife was born in a place called East London, which is about 3 hours away from Port Elizabeth. And Port Elizabeth is the closest city to East London. And he knows East London well. So Nick and I have been married for 24 years this year. And we met at Bible college back in the 90s. And she is my everything. She is a South African, as I say, and I don't know how many South Africans you know, but all the South Africans I know are not afraid to tell you their opinion and what they think. Some of you are laughing because you know it's true. And she is the one that keeps me on the straight and narrow. And the mood quickly changes from dinner jazz when Nikki has something to say. It's more like rock and roll. But I love her for it. She's the one that keeps me on the straight and narrow. Two of these are my kids. On the right hand side you've got Jazzy and her husband Jared. My daughter recently got married, actually in sort of lockdown. They're over in South Africa at the moment. He's also South African. Jasmine was born in the UK but has dual citizenship. She's in South Africa at the moment. We're praying for the visa to come, for him to be able to come here, and hopefully we're going to see them in the next couple of months. On the left, the guy with the England flag on his nose, he's going to kill me when he finds out, is my son Joe. He's 20 and he plays rugby, if you couldn't tell. He plays for Harlow. But what you don't know about Joe is when he was a baby, he was seriously ill. We spent 18 months or so in the hospital where he nearly died 5 times. If it wasn't for the pediatrician in South Africa, he probably would have died. You can't, the hours that Nikki prayed for him was just a testament to her as a mother. He pulled through. He's a big strapping lad. You would never know that he nearly died as a kid. And the girl in the picture is his girlfriend, long-term girlfriend Megan. And we often joke, can we not swap Joe for Megan, because she's lovely. She's wonderful. She's such a beautiful, spirited girl, and we are really trusting that they get married and she becomes a Norris, because she's brilliant. And then finally, these two troublemakers. We've got Ollie on the left and then Bella on the right. The one on the right if you want a pug, she's going free. She's a troublemaker. You're welcome to her. But Nikki loves having them around. My wife, she doesn't work, Nikki, so she's got some companions at home. Next slide is always a little bit more tricky. It's just so you can get to know me, right? So you understand who is up here, who they've allowed to stand up here to speak to you this morning. I am a Manchester United supporter. I support the Miami Dolphins and Mercedes Formula One team. I love sport. I'm passionate about sport. But the Lord keeps me humble right now, because all three of them are not doing very well. I've been a long time Miami Dolphins fan since back in the day, a guy called Dan Marino. They've never improved. They're never any good. And it is God's way of just keeping me humble. And finally, another hobby of mine is golf. I don't know if you've got any golfers in the house. Few. This is the reality of what it's like when I play golf. Highly frustrating. Another thing that God seems to be using to humble me. But what is great is that I get the opportunity to play golf with some good friends. These are all guys that are associated with the church, and we've got a golf group that meets up pretty much every Saturday. Goes for a round of golf. Some of the people you'll recognize, some of you. And it's just so good to be out there. It's an opportunity to spend time not only playing golf, but talking about the things of God and what God is doing in our lives. And that kind of leads on to what I really feel that God is saying to us this morning. It's not about me coming here and speaking to you. Actually, very often when I speak, I preach to myself. Because God is doing a work in me, and it's an expression and a catching of what God is doing in me. And you kind of get the overflow of that. But I think it's more significant than that. I'll kill this. There you go. You don't want to see that the whole way through, do you? I believe that God is doing something among the church in Harlow. And I've been involved in many churches working together and things like that. And it's always been on a level, right? But this is something that feels different. It does. In the spiritual realm, it feels different. And this morning, I come here just as a regular guy. I am nothing special, let me tell you. You can see that by the teams that I support, by the frustration I experience on the golf course. I'll put it out there straight away. I'm a good driver. I'm probably the best driver on the roads out there. Everybody else is shocking, and they must just get out of the way. Well, I'm just putting it out there. That's who I am, right? I've got my stuff that I need to take to the Lord every day. I'm sure you guys don't know it here at Harefield, right? You're all good. I'm just a regular guy who has the privilege of walking and journeying with God, and the connection that I've had with Dave just over the last few months, just talking about the things of God. No firm plans. Let's see what happens. But I believe this is a prophetic action this morning. And we're going to reciprocate, and Dave's going to come. And we actually met on Friday, and we're talking about Book of Revelation. He doesn't know it yet. He's going to come and preach on the Book of Revelation at our church. It's not all of it, some of it. But we're going to do that. We'd already planned to do Revelation. And then it was like, we were chatting. And he didn't know that, but he does now. Let's see that this morning. Let's get around the word. Let's throw some things out there and see where we land. So if you've got your Bibles, or I don't know if you guys put those words up on the screen, we're going to go to Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. You are not going to hear anything new today. If you've been around church for a while, you would know these scriptures pretty well. Let me know when you're ready. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16. I think it's the ESV version I've got here. Ready? Okay, so it says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I want to say to you this morning, I've said it already actually, every single one of you here in this room this morning is a minister of the gospel. Even if you're visiting and you're not part of this church, if you are born again, if you've got Jesus front and center as your Lord and Savior, you are called to minister. You can be known as an MEA, a minister of eternal affairs. That's your job. Your job is to minister in the name of Jesus. Therefore, you're a minister of eternal affairs. And we don't do it because we have to. We do it because we want to. Because God has called you. God has saved you. He saved you from hell. Hell is a real place. And God has pulled you out from there. And now you get to work for Jesus in everything that you do. It's amazing to partner with God. By His grace, you get to join. God doesn't need us. He really doesn't need us. But His heart is so for us, so wanting us to be a part of what He is doing, that you get to join in the Father's work. Everywhere you go, everything you do is an opportunity to do work with Father God. And this should change your perspective on life. I mentioned earlier that it's 30 years next year that I've been born again, thrust into ministry. It's a fancy word. It really, you know, ministry is a fancy word for doing God's business, right? And some people can use that as a, not necessarily a weapon, but as a way of inflating their own ego. Right? Out of the 30 years that I've been walking with the Lord in doing ministry, doing things that God has told me to do, because I started pretty much 3 months after I became born again, 4 of those years, 4 out of the 30 have been full time. And it was a hard time. I was a youth pastor in a Baptist church in Moreton-on-Thames, and I'd never experienced working in a Baptist church, and it was for me, it was quite hard because I wasn't used to the way in which they operated. I was telling Dave the other day, 150 young people at my youth group, none of them churched in the church building, causing absolute carnage. And believe it or not, Moreton-on-Thames is in Surrey. It's quite a nice area. I don't know if you know it. It's near Cobham. That kind of area, Cobham, is where all the Chelsea footballers live. So that's quite affluent. But let me tell you, there was still gang warfare going on in Moreton-on-Thames. I remember a gang turning up and smashing the church doors. I mean, it didn't go down particularly well with the church members, but must have been doing something right, because we were there on the front line, people, young people giving their lives to the Lord. I want to say to you this morning, it doesn't matter who you are or your position, God wants to use you. it's just us making ourselves available. It's not your responsibility. It's not my responsibility to save anybody. That's God's business. God will convict people of sin. But the Bible says that we are to go and preach the gospel, to make disciples, and that those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That they put their faith and trust in Him. And we know that the Bible says that faith comes through hearing. And you are God's mouthpiece. It's not just about the things that we see on a Sunday. The gifts that God has given you, the talents that God has given you, are specific for you and your situation. The gospel doesn't change. The truth that people need to repent and turn to God doesn't change. But how that happens and the mechanism in which that happens is different. Because God wants to use every single one of us. So whether you are in business, whether you are in school, whether you're retired, wherever you are, maybe you're in education, maybe you're a homemaker, whatever your giftings are, use them for God's glory and the extension of His kingdom. You might be sitting there and saying, well, I don't really know what that is. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. That first part, each of us has received gifting, has received something from God that we are to use for the advancement of the kingdom. And at God Central, God is doing things in us and through us as we lay down our own agendas, the things that we want to see, and pursue God to the point where we can sing, "You always have my heart," out of sincerity and a genuineness. That people are starting to catch this. They're starting to go into the workplace and in the power and the authority that God has given and use those giftings. We are on that journey. We don't get it right every time, nor will you. But I want to challenge and encourage you this morning. Do it. There have been people praying for this town for a long time. A long, long time. I know because I've been a part of it since 93. Haven't always lived here. We've lived in South Africa as well. But Harlow is my hometown and I have a heart to see God move. And we used to drive into Harlow and immediately you'd feel oppressed. I don't know if anybody else has experienced that. Man, the atmosphere is changing. The atmosphere is changing. God is doing something. And it's part of that is all of us working together. And that's partly why I'm here this morning. That actually we lay aside all of our ways of doing church. Worship was great this morning. We have a different worship style. We sing some different songs. But we're all focused on Jesus. So, God bless you. Keep pressing in to God. in worship and allow God to minister to you as you minister to Him. Preaching styles may be different. The way in which we serve tea and coffee may be different. You start at 11, we start at 10:30. We're there at 8:30, you've got a building. We are a little bit jealous. We have to get there early doors to set up every Sunday. But in that, people are finding their gifting. People are finding their way in the Lord. But we're doing it together. For the advancement of His kingdom. Not our platform. Not that God Central, not that Harefield can be the biggest and the best church in Harlow. If you are sincere and earnestly pursuing God, which I know you are, we can do so much together for the kingdom and the name of Jesus in this town. And I believe that God is going to continue to use that and develop that as we partner together, as we work together, as we build relationships together. It's all about the relationships, right? It's not about, as I say, it's not about the platforms at all. It's about those deep connections in relationship that will see God's kingdom advance. And part of the responsibility of those who are in leadership in church, as I said to you, I'm nothing special. I really am not. I might just have been a little bit further on in the journey than some. Had a few life experiences that have made me the person I am today. But I take my responsibility in guiding and leading things at the church there at God Central really seriously. And it's my job to teach and train the people that are in my care to go and do this stuff. Because if I try and do it, I'll have limited results. But if I can train people up to go and do it, it's going to snowball, right? And that's what we do. We train people up. We release them to do things of God. I don't know how, like, just take worship, for example. We struggle for musicians because it's quite difficult, but singers, we've got a load of singers. And some of them are showing real potential, and others are sort of a bit shy, a bit timid. But we can see, actually, there's potential there. But we give them a microphone. You go for it. If you sing off key, it's okay. It's not the end of the world, man. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. Keep pressing into God. Keep worshipping Him in your bedroom. And the overflow and the overspill of that comes on a Sunday. You might have people here that are passionate about coffee, but they're not serving in your refreshments team. It's an opportunity to serve, right? We love coffee at God Central. I was telling Dave, actually. I'm humble, but I'm proud of the fact we have 3 slots for coffee on a Sunday. That's how much we love coffee. Before the service, in the middle of the service, and then after the service, you can get a cup of coffee at God Central. But it's actually double-edged, because it gives people an opportunity to build relationship with one another. And we give people key things. Go and chat to this person, find out about them. You know, let's start to get the ball rolling with these people. And God is doing amazing things. And God wants to do amazing things here. And He's doing amazing things. I know that, just chatting with Dave. And it's not just about Sundays. Let me say that. There's only a small proportion of people that can serve on a Sunday. That is the reality. On any given Sunday. However, we can all do stuff Monday through Saturday for God. And what happens here on a Sunday, what we hold dear here on a Sunday, should be a catalyst to shape Monday through Saturday. to worship for God on a Sunday should overflow Monday to Saturday. The preaching of the word should equip you, train you for everything that you need Monday to Saturday. That as we work as believers, that as we have this perspective change, that actually we are ministers of God's gospel, that we are ministers of eternal affairs, we should see our work differently. Whatever work that is, or whatever God would have you do in the week. That it's meaningful. That it is an opportunity for evangelism, for mission. But we should also be a testimony in our work that we should work well with that excellent spirit. That we should steward well, that we should be faithful in everything we do. Does your life reflect your walk with the Lord? Or do you just show that on a Sunday? I started a new job last year, February, working in Walthamstow. I sell pre-owned luxury watches. So it's quite an interesting business to be in as a believer, because there's a lot of wealth, a lot of money that gets thrown around. But I've had some amazing opportunities. When you go in with that mindset, God, I'm here to work hard, work well, but I'm doing it all for you. Some incredible opportunities come. Doors open. Conversations that I've had with unbelievers, with Muslims that work there, just incredible. Incredible. And God is continuing to give the doors, open the doors for me to be able to do that. And that's where I see myself. I do stuff on a Sunday because I love God. But it's the rest of the week that is like, I look forward to Sunday because it's like, get to spend time with other believers and get recharged, get refreshed, get renewed to go and do what God tells me to do in the week. I want to do it well. Make sure that I'm not stealing time from my employees. Make sure that when I need stationery, that I don't slip that pen or those extra pieces of paper in my bag to take home. Because can you ever find a pen in your house? I don't know about you, but my wife's an artist. And I struggled to find a workable pen for my Mother's Day card last night, because they're dotted all over the place. Arty people are slightly left field. I'll just put it out there. Don't think like normal people. So I couldn't find a pen. But you get my point, right? We want to be honourable in our workplace, honourable in the things that we do, that we're working for Jesus rather than whoever we work for. Do it well. Just think of this. There's a lady called Dorothy Sayers, and she wrote an article, Why Work? And it says this. No crooked table legs or ill-fitting drawers ever, I dare say, came out of the carpenter's shop in Nazareth. Nor, if they did, could anybody believe that they were made by the same hand that made heaven and earth. No piety in the worker will compensate for work that is not true to itself. For any work that is untrue to its own technique is a living lie. I love that. Let's work well as ministers of God's gospel. What you do matters. It has meaning. And as churches, we so often pray for missionaries, we pray for church planters, we pray for those that are sent to go and serve in other churches or other places. But we seldom pray for us, ourselves, as ministers. We are equally as important as those missionaries. I'm quite happy that I don't have the call to go to Hawaii. I'm happy in Harlow. This is where God wants me right now. I'm happy. I don't know if any of you have ever moved country. We've done it a few times. It is not fun. Hear me in this. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for our leaders. We shouldn't pray for missionaries. But we should also be praying for the mechanics, for the postmen and women, for the firefighters, for the artists, for the politicians, for the educators among us. Because we're all ministers of eternal affairs. Colossians 3 verses 1 to 3 says this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He then goes on to say in verse 17, and whatever you do in work or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. If you're born again here today, your old life is gone. It's dead and buried. You are a new creation in Christ, created to do good works. Your old life is dead and buried, hidden with Christ. Therefore, whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God. It changes your perspective when you understand who you are in Christ. The reason for your existence is the advancement of His kingdom. It's beautiful that we don't live under a set of rules and regulations. We live under that grace of God that enables us to not always get it right. But He's calling us as believers deeper and deeper and deeper in relationship with Him for the advancement of His kingdom. He is with us. He is guiding us. He is leading us. We just need to be obedient. There are things in your life that you may need to lay down. I don't know what they are. You'll know. The moment I said that, you'll know. Because those things can hinder you being all that you can be in God and doing things for Him that you never thought were possible. I'm a testament to that. I was lost. I was living my life to please myself, and God got hold of me, turned my life around, and here we are 30 years later. I'm still going. And I feel like I've only scratched the surface of what God has for me. I stand up here, as I said to you earlier, I'm nobody special. I don't feel qualified. I sure as heck don't feel qualified to lead a church. But I'm building a team. We're building a team. That when one of us is weak, we carry each other. That we can see God move among us, through us, for the advancement of His kingdom and for His fame. Let's just take a moment. I'm finished. You'll be pleased to know. Your roast chicken cooking in your oven is all good. Let's just take a moment before the Lord. I've spoken about a few different things, and some of that may have resonated. I hope it has been a blessing to you, but I want to say to you that God is for you as a church, that God is doing something that is beyond what we can see or imagine in terms of the advancement of His kingdom. And in like this morning, I was like, actually, these guys are like the right arm, and God Central's like the left arm. We can work independently. There are things that there's things that we can do on the left arm, and you guys are doing on the right arm, and they work independently. But at the same time, there are things where both are needed to carry something. To lift our hands in worship. We can do that together. We worship the same God. To carry the weight of evangelism, the forwarding of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel in this town. Without necessarily losing our identity and what God is doing in us as individuals. You can see I don't mind getting tattoos. Don't know where you stand, it's okay, it doesn't matter. But on this arm I have a South African protea. And on this arm I have an anchor. And it says, hope anchors the soul. And they mean different things. And one's on my left arm, one's on my right arm. They're independent of each other. But collectively, they mean something to me. I have other tattoos as well. But this arm is my stronger arm. And this is the weaker arm. But they do work together. And I feel like this is the start of something in this town that will see all those years people have been praying. We're going to see the fruit of that starting to come. I want to say to you, like, we don't hold on to, you know, this is our town. That doesn't work. We're not about that. There's so many people in Harlow, right, that don't know Jesus. So many. We could fill our churches thousands of time over. So we're all about working together at God Central. We are all about working together. And we want to do that. And we love you guys, and we're excited about what God is going to do. We don't know what it is, but it's something. And be encouraged this morning. We'll challenge you to lay down the things that God is calling you to lay them down. And go. Know that you're a minister of eternal affairs. That your perspective should change and see your Monday to Saturday differently. Amen. Let's pray, and then we hand over to you guys. Father, just thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you to come and just share just a little bit of heart. Father, I want to say that we love you. Well, it doesn't matter where we've come from. Well, the important thing is that you're in charge. You are the reason that we live, the reason that we exist. Father, we want to lay down the things that just are of no use. Father, we eagerly want to pursue you. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you give us. Lord, may we use those gifts for the extension of your kingdom. Father God, may we attack Monday through Saturday with purpose. Be about your business in all that we do, whether it be in the queue at the supermarket, wherever we work or at school, whatever it is, God, may we see with your eyes. But we know that you're with us. We know that. The Bible says you're with us. Lord, may we be active in allowing you to move in us and through us every day. Father, we love you. Pray for the people here, Lord, that you would bless them. Lord, you pour out your Spirit upon them. Give them peace. Give them joy. Give them hope. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.